trying to work on your own, under your own strength, under your own ability, leaning on the arm of your own flesh, trying to get something. When this is not mixed with faith, it produces death.
Join Jeremy Pearson's today as he exposes the pitfalls of making decisions without the leading and guidance of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. Next, right here on the Believer's Voice of Victory.
Hello, everybody. Welcome once again to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I am Jeremy Pearson's grandson of Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, and I have had the distinct honor and privilege of being your host for these last couple of weeks, and it has been the time of my life. I love doing this, and I want to say, once again, I think I've said it every day, but I can't say it enough. Thank you, Mimi. Thank you, Pawpaw, for allowing me to do this and to be a part of this great work of God with you. I'm honored to stand next to you in ministry and to be a part of your call to serve the Lord through serving you. It thrills my heart. And it's the thrill of my life to get to do it. And for you who are watching and listening, wherever you're watching and listening, I want to say thank you. I hope you've been a part of these services. If you haven't, or these broadcasts, and if you haven't, go back and get them. Go back and listen to them. I think they'll do some good. And I think that these things that we're talking about, that the Lord's been dealing with us on, they're crucial. I wouldn't waste your time. I respect you more than that. I respect what you're called to do more than that. And I wouldn't waste your time. I wouldn't waste your time on talking about my opinion. I wouldn't waste your time talking about what I think and how I feel. The only thing that is not a waste of time is the Word of God, what He says, how He feels, what He thinks. And what I'm interested in my life and for our life together is coming up to the way He thinks, coming up to the way He responds to it. And the way to do that is by faith. We've talked for two solid weeks now, and we are just barely scratching the surface on the subject of faith. We can't hear enough about this. Determine right now for the rest of your life that you can't hear enough about faith. The more you hear about faith, the more it stirs you. The more you hear, the more you grow. And the more you grow, the more you want to hear. And it stirs your heart about it. Of course, we did last week on really taking the time to look at who the Word says we are and then believe it. That's where faith begins. That's what faith is. It is believing. Jesus said over and over, your faith has made you whole. Your faith in who? Your faith in what? In Him. He is the Word. He is love made manifest. Put your faith in that. How can you have faith for something without having faith in Him? I have faith for this great gift of God, to the great goodness of God towards me, but I'm not sure if He's a good God. It doesn't, they don't go together. That doesn't make sense. You can't do that. You've got to first know, be convinced, just like Abraham, be fully persuaded that He who promised is able to perform. The reason good things are coming in life is because He's a good God. The reason healing is being manifest in our lives and in our bodies is because He is a healing God. That's just all there is to it. You put your faith in Him, and that's connected to your faith for what you need to grow in and live in. We're walking by faith. And then this, starting on Monday of this week, we've been talking about how to apply this faith, because the application of it, the doing of it, if you will, comes from who you are. It comes out of what you believe. Fighters fight. Believers believe. It's who we are and it's what we do. We started this week by talking about hearing the Word. And when you hear the Word, especially that Word about Jesus, and you get an image in your heart and mind of who He is, what He's done and what He said and that completed work, what does it do? It stirs faith in you. When you hear the words of Jesus and you say, that's what I'm going to do, that's what I'm going to be, I'm going to do it and I'm going to be that, because that's what He is and that's what He does. It stirs faith in you. When you hear it, you believe it. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, what happens when you believe? We believe, therefore we speak. Speaking and believing, you can't separate them. It's two sides of the same thing. You believe, therefore you speak. What did Jesus tell us about speaking? If you speak, say to this mountain, be thou removed, be cast into the sea, do not doubt in your heart, but only believe. Your believing is connected to your speaking. Your speaking is connected to your believing. And you know this. This is not new to you. How were you born again? When you believed in your heart and confessed with your mouth. Now, what makes you think that that salvation experience was just for that day in your history and never again? The same way you were born again is the way you were created to live every day of life. Every day of your life should be filled with believing and speaking and believing and speaking and believing and speaking. And words are a demonstration of who you are and what you believe. You hear it, causes belief. When you believe it, you speak it. We talked about how there is no room for pride in this. Your healing of your body is connected to your humility. You look at the life and ministry of Jesus, people that fell down and worshiped him. Jairus fell at his feet and worshiped him. Now, Jesus was able to go to his house that day and raise his little girl from the dead. If Jairus got results, I'm interested. If this woman with the issue of blood in that same chapter got what she came for, I'm interested in how. What does she do? She heard about Jesus. She said, if I touch his garment, I'll be made well. And she fell at his feet and worshiped him. No room for pride in this, only humility. Don't think more highly of yourself than you ought, the scripture says, but think soberly, not drunk. If you think this thing is about you and your good works and what you've done and how much you deserve, man, you're drunk. That's all there is to it. But think soberly, a sober recognition that without Jesus, it's nothing. Without him, I'm lost, broken, sick, defeated. Oh, but I am not without him. I have been given his name, the name that's above every name. I have been given the stripes on his back. The blood of Jesus Christ covers me. And with him, I'm saved, healed, delivered, set free. And you recognize that it's all through him. And then be a fighter. Be a fighter. Fighters fight. Fight the good fight of faith. And the good news is your enemy is defeated. The good news is the greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. This should be stirring your faith right now. This should be stirring you up right now to fight, not to lay back, but to lay hold, not to give up, but to grab hold of what's already yours. The thief comes to steal it. If it wasn't yours, he couldn't steal it. So if he's a thief and he's come to steal, that means one thing. It's already yours. It already belongs to you. Now you fight and you hold on to it. You don't let go. Don't get lazy. Don't step back. Don't blame what you think is the will of God without knowing the will of God. You step up and you fight for this thing. You lay hold. I want to end this today by looking in a couple of scriptures. And I want to give you what I believe is one of the greatest keys of faith. One of the greatest keys in walking and living by faith, just as profound as hearing, just as profound as speaking, just as profound as humbling yourself, just as important as fighting this fight. In Hebrews chapter 4, look at let's start in verse 9. It says this, there remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God. Say that word, rest. There remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. Verse 11, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. Let us therefore be diligent to enter the rest of God. Yes, faith comes when you hear. Yes, faith is released when you speak. Yes, faith is on the scene when you humble yourself. Yes, there is a fight of faith, but at the exact same time, now you got to get a hold of this by the help of the Spirit of God. Faith is a rest. In the first verse of this chapter, it talks about the promise remains of entering his rest. Let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, talking about the children of Israel in the Old Testament. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith who heard it. And it goes on to say that they died there in the wilderness. They did not obtain the promise. Why? Because it wasn't mixed with faith. They didn't enter the rest of God. Now, I'm going to tell you something right now. And if you don't get anything other than this out of these 2 weeks of broadcast, you get a hold of this right now. According to James, faith without works is dead. And that is true. There is truth in that that you need to grab hold of. Without corresponding action, without actions that just are a demonstration of who you are and what you believe, that faith is not complete. It's got to come out in what we say. It must come out in what we do. Faith without works is dead. But works without faith is death. Trying to work on your own, under your own strength, under your own ability, leaning on the arm of your own flesh, trying to get something, when this is not mixed with faith, it produces death. Faith without works is dead, but works without faith is death. You will literally kill yourself trying to work for something that's already been given to you. There is nothing you can do to make God love you any more or any less. This is not about your own ability in your flesh. It is about what you believe and living according to that. Living according to what you believe. The only work left for you and I to do is believe it. Receive it. Take hold of it by faith. And everything in life should be a living demonstration. When we work hard preaching, when we get out there and we give what we've got in ministry or in your job, doing what you do as unto the Lord, you need to keep this at the forefront of your thinking. I am not doing this under my own strength, under my own ability. I am in faith, leaning on Him. And even when you're quote unquote working hard, you should be at rest. How can you be at rest? Because you know what's at the end of this road. Scripture tells us to cast all our care onto the Lord. Why? Because He cares for you. You can take that one of two ways. It either means He cares for you like, oh, as in, oh, I care for you. Or you can take it like this. He cares for you. He will do the caring for you. You don't have to do it. He's doing it for you. He will carry of it. He will carry it. You cast it over onto Him and you enter the rest of God. Faith is a rest. Now, this is interesting to me. You may be thinking, how can I rest and fight at the same time? Sometimes you got to fight to stay at rest. Have you noticed that? Now, I will tell you something. Let me tell you this while I'm telling this. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 again. We've looked there some this week. But I'll tell you this about me and my family and this ministry. This is one thing that, if I'm just being transparent and honest here, man, this is something we've had to do by faith. Because there's something in this Copeland blood that just makes us want to get out and go and always be going and always be doing. But my grandfather has told me on a number of occasions, and he said it from this platform and platforms around the world and told me privately. He said, Jeremy, I'd like to kill myself with the schedule I was keeping. And if there's one thing I've learned, and if there's one thing that my wife Sarah and I are not going to be guilty of, that is trying to do something because we think what we try to do is going to be pleasing to the Lord. I'll tell you what's pleasing to the Lord. Take a day off. Get some rest. Now, it takes faith to do this. And part of that has to do with the way you see life. Part of that has to do with these lenses that you have here looking out and the way you look at this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 in verse 16, it says, we don't lose heart. Even though the outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but we look at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, the things which are not seen are eternal. Change the way you view life. And if there's something pressuring you right now, if there's something, if it's a trial or a circumstance that you're dealing with and it seems hard, you look not through these natural eyes, not looking at things externally, those things that are temporal, you look at what's eternal. And when you look through the eyes of eternity, you are able then to sit back and through Scripture, not my opinion, not what I think here, through Scripture say, this is nothing but a light, momentary affliction. It's light. And you think to yourself, this thing doesn't feel light. I'm not talking to you about what it feels like. I'm talking to you about what it is. And according to the Word, this is a light, momentary affliction. Have you ever got yourself so worked up about something that was coming? Maybe you had there was a date on the calendar that you were dreading as you move forward, and you were sweating it, and you were staying up late at night, and you couldn't sleep, and here it comes, and it's a day closer, and a day closer, and a day closer, and you're stressed, and you're worried, and you get to it, and you live through it, and the day's over, and you're still alive, and you're thinking, that wasn't so bad. Why was I so worried over that? It was a momentary light affliction. Psalm chapter 46. I'll wrap this whole series up by saying this. Turn there with me. Psalm 46. Let me read this psalm to you. This is something you've heard before, but hear it again, maybe for the first time. Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, present help in time of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Even though the earth be removed and the mountains be carried into the sea, though the waters roar in trouble, though the mountains shake with its swelling, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, a holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. Now listen to this. Verse 6, the nations raged. The kingdoms were moved. Verse 6, he uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations of the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Listen to the picture that these words are painting. You've got nations raging, mountains being moved, the earth being shaken. In verse 10, he says, be still and know that I am God. In the middle of nations raging, in the middle of wars, in the middle of your own life being shaken, your own world being rattled, you know what the Scripture says for you to do? Be still. You're thinking, I can't sit still. I got to get up. I got to go. No, be still. We Copelands have a hard time with being still sometimes. I go to study, I go to get ready, and I open the window in my office, and I'm looking, I'm thinking, ooh, I'll go for a walk. And I want to get out there and walk, and ooh, I want to listen to this. Jeremy, stop it, stop it, stop it, stop it. Be still. I'm telling you, you've got to get your day of rest. Sarah and I, in our life and marriage together so far, we have come to just love and value that day of rest together. We work hard throughout the week. We serve the Lord with everything we've got, and we serve Him in our rest. Your body needs to rest. Your family needs to rest. Take some time. Spend some time in the Word. Be still. Being still is an act of faith. When the world, your job, your family demands your time and demands your attention, you take time to be still. And you say, I don't have any time to be still. Make some time to be still. If it's early or if it's late, make some time to be still. What happens when you're still? You know that He is God, not you. Quit trying to be God in your life. Quit saying, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? I can't figure out what am I going to do. How am I supposed to handle this? Who's your attention on when you say that? Me, I. Pressure's on you. But your faith is in Christ Jesus. Take the pressure off of you, put the pressure back on the Word, and be still. I'll be back in just a moment.
I come every year because it's my recharge. It's my lifeline. It's the way I make it through.
For the past 30 years, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland have brought the message of love and faith to the people of Southern California. People come from all over expecting miracles.
Jesus needs you. All sufficient, always having all sufficiency at all times. Why? Because he needs you to be able to disperse, to give to the poor, to move in his realm, all sufficient, all the time, praise God, so that you can cast or sow abroad and be there anytime he needs you anywhere. When the world is in recession is when he needs you the most. Yeah.
Anything that comes up in your life that's a lack, go to the blessing. Go to the Word. Go to the Scripture that says God meets my needs liberally, over and above, according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah.
Sometimes it's so funny, and sometimes it's so exciting, and sometimes you want to laugh, and sometimes you want to cry. But it's always good, 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 the goodness of God.
Notice he didn't give Adam a miracle. He gave him a blessing. Why? Because if you live in the blessing, then you can create miracles for other people.
Without this word, we lose the potential to have faith. Because this is the source of faith.
So if nothing is impossible to the God I serve, and all things are possible to him that believeth, and I'm a believer, then that means, based on the Word of God, I have no limitations.
When God says, be, it is a release of blessing power that causes you to become what he said be.
Worshiping God in one accord is always a part of our victory campaigns. In addition to honoring God with our praise, this year we were able to honor this country.
Hallelujah! For the land of the free. Oh, thank God we're free. Oh, bless the Lord. Yes, we're free. And the
KCM believes in the importance of family and provides special sessions for the youth and children. There are games, activities, praise and worship, teaching of the Word, and always a time of prayer.
Come, you have to come. It's life-changing.
I'm not even the same person I was when I first walked in.
Gloria Copeland has conducted Healing School for the past 30 years at all the KCM Believers Conventions. Healing School is always concluded with a powerful healing service.
Amen. Hallelujah.
The love of God is truly shown through them. They walk in it like no other person. And it's been such a blessing to my family.
Plan on attending a Believer's Convention or Victory Campaign.
Get in your automobile, get on that plane, and come and see it in person, because you will never be the same.
We always have the time of our lives at these Believers Convention. Get online. If you missed it, go back and look at it. Look at 07 and 6 and 5 and whatever else is out there that you can get. Get online and go get it. Get those things down in you. Go to our website. Check out everything we've got there. You're going to be glad you did. Every Friday on the Believer's Voice of Victory is Offering Day. This is something that the Lord instructed my grandfather in. He's been obedient and been faithful to do it. I want to take you to a scripture before we give, and this is found in the book of Philippians chapter 4. And I want you to hear what the Apostle Paul wrote to this church. In verse 15, he said, "Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek a gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account." And I love this. Just as I'm reading this, the Lord's witnessing something to my heart. How wonderful for this church, for their place in history to be known as a giving church. Always and forever, they will be the ones who gave when nobody else did. And there's something that speaks to me in this passage. In verse 17, he says, "Not that I seek a gift, I'm looking for the fruit that abounds to your account." And I don't know if you've ever heard my grandfather say this or not, but I'm going to tell you something that he has put into this family and to this ministry, privately and publicly. He said, "We do not look for ways to get money in. We look for ways to get the word out." Now, he has said that, and he has lived that. That may fly in the face of your opinion of him. That might be in contrast to some opinion you've heard about him. But, hey, I know the man, all right? I've grown up in this. I've experienced this. He has instructed us. We get the word out. The money will take care of itself. We get the word out. The Apostle Paul is saying the same thing here. We're looking for fruit to abound to your account. This isn't about a gift. This is about God proving himself in your life. Now, I want you to know something. Wherever in the world that you are that you give, whether you're watching by television or internet or listening, if you're giving outside the United States, your offering stays in the area of the world that you are in. And we thank God for the great work that's going on all over this world, from the top to the bottom and all the way around. We love you, partners, and thank you for being a part of what's going on. Don't forget Thunder Over Texas Motorcycle Rally and Car Show starts today, August 29th through the 31st in Granbury, Texas. For more information about that, you can go to thunderovertexas.com. Next week, I want you to join Kelly Copeland, my beloved aunt, on the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. She's coming to you. It's going to be good. This is Jeremy Pearson thanking you for joining me these last 2 weeks and reminding you that Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us today on the Believer's Voice of Victory. For more information on Kenneth Copeland Ministries or to order a copy of today's broadcast, log on to our website at kcm.org or call us toll-free 800-575-4455. Kenneth Copeland Ministries is here for you with teaching tools, prayer, and other ministry resources to help you live in faith and victory every day. This is the year of fullness of blessing, a time for you to receive the blessing without measure.